scattered showers, the high 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room. This month is, well, it's kind of, only I guess a week into it, but it's starting to, time's starting to fly by. It was going so slow in August. Now with football going on, seems to be flying by. The phone lines are wide open, 205-342-9904. If you want to call and discuss anything over the weekend, we'll be more than happy to do that with you. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. I tell you this each and every day. You can put that on your smartphone. You can send us an app message, and you can take us with you anywhere you go. You want to email us, do that at wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood. That would be Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood is your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. Chase, how was the weekend? Did you have a good weekend? Can't hear you. All right, we can't hear Chase. All right, Dad, how about you? How was the weekend?
It was okay. I went with Jimmy Rain. I'll tell that story later out to Paris, Texas to see Biebs and Ruth Ann, but I'll tell that later. Anyway, the games that were played, let me say this to you first of all, in the Vanderbilt game. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're only so disappointed because of the two plays that cost them the game or came close to costing them the chance to win the game. I don't know that it would have. I think Alabama played much better in most areas. But the fumble when they had a lead going in inside the five-yard line, but they had a lead that they lost, and the intercepted pass that they had, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, that disappointed you there because those were two huge plays, especially the fumble was. The interception was big, too. So those two plays cost Vanderbilt a chance to win it. I would say that they would have, but a chance to win the game. And Alabama was, I would say, fortunate to get those two breaks. And sometimes you make your own breaks, and I guess they made their breaks there. So that was big. Auburn did not play, and we have a big time week this week. We have six games of the SEC, which is 12 teams, and then we have Ole Miss playing Washington State, which is 13. So 13 of the 16 teams that generally play are playing this week, and of course we have the big rivals of Arkansas and Tennessee, Georgia and Auburn, very big rival. And of course Alabama's going over and play a Missouri team that is certainly very, very good, no-name good team, and you better be ready to play. You go there, and they're very, very good defensively, so it'll be a very interesting game. Best teams in the league? Best teams in the league right now? Alabama, I'd still put Georgia in there, and I would add the Missouri and A&M as the four best teams in the league. There may be others. Nationally, Florida, knocked Texas out a little bit nationally. Texas and Penn State got knocked out some nationally. So Barry and I will talk about that. So it should be an interesting week for us. And we welcome your call. So you will talk about the games, as Barry mentioned. Stephen Fisk won the golf tournament, $1.1 million. at Sanderson's Farms. His name not named after Barry and I, but it, he was 24 under. Mullinax 11, Lee Hodges 10, and Dunlap was 9, all those under. But that wasn't even close to where it finished. So we will welcome your calls. Baseball still continuing to go on, and we'll see what happens there. So give us a call and tell us what you think, and we will happy to try to answer. If you want to talk about the Vanderbilt game, or if you want to talk about how tough the Missouri game could be this coming up, because it's going to be a Booker Bear tough, because they're going to guard the crap out of it. So it should be interesting. Anyway, it's six games that we have, and Ole Miss and Washington State, and then the three teams that we have that are not playing. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Chase, we have to go negative here at the beginning. The blue plate is cracked right now.
Yeah, sure it is. 4-4.
Has a crack in it, Chase. He said take Louisville. And these teams are losing. Virginia knocked off Louisville. So, Chase, give him what he deserves there.
Yeah, as that game went along. Yeah, I was bad with the game. I thought that Louisville scored so much that they would overcome the 6.5. You know, I just thought they'd win the game, and I was wrong. So I've been wrong before, and I'm not doing very well. So,
well, you're 4-4. You've lost the juice.
Well, what you need to do is you just need to listen to what I say and then go against what I say rather than what I say.
There you go. All right, and then your little weed eater pick, it didn't hit either. He was wanting you. Yeah, I guess he went 1-1. He wanted
it's hard to pick, Bear.
He wanted to go over. I told him don't go over in the Bama game. He wanted to go over the 56.5. He did take Florida, so he's 2-3. So right now we're not getting anybody rich.
No, we're no good.
We'll check Doug. There's a rumor flying around that Doug was 3-0 again this week. I got to check him. But if he did,
good. 3-0?
Again. So if he is, that was 6-0. I don't understand polls. Do you guys, after watching Vandy, I think Vandy is good. I mean, I think they're really, really good. Right? Yeah. Chase, did you think Vandy was good?
I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think Dad's right. They're down there driving. Those two turnovers were very, very costly to Vanderbilt. So what I don't understand, if you played Alabama that good at Alabama, why would you fall four places in the polls? To me, you should go up. If they went to Alabama and had a score, obviously everybody was all excited. Alabama scored that last touchdown because everybody in Tuscaloosa bets on Alabama, and they covered there. But that game was not, obviously, not that margin. The only thing I would say is if you're a grown man, all right, right now, take your right hand and slap yourself. Diego Pavia acts like an idiot. But when he's walking off the field and you're screaming at him and you're a grown man and you're coming down to his level. And I know he grabbed his junk on the field towards the student section. He's cocky. And he does not honestly represent Vanderbilt in a very first-class manner. But when we talk about that, and then when he's coming off the field and you got grown men screaming and yelling and acting a fool at him, you just came right to his level there. So have a little class about you. Let him act like a fool, and he does. And Johnny Manziel was here and had his jersey on, but I don't think that's the guy that Diego Pavia needs to be trying to, you know, hang out with if he wants his career to go. I don't know. Your thoughts on that, Dad? Pavia acted a fool. Yeah, and then Alabama fans acted a fool right back to him, which is not good.
Once you make a gesture, though, at fans at another place, well, you're gonna get it back from somebody. You know that. So, you know, it's your fault for grabbing whatever you grab and carrying on the way you carry on, because there ain't no way that somebody's not going to come back at you as hard as they can. So that's just what life is, and there's nothing you can particularly do about it. He ran his mouth too much. Alabama was ready to play. Well, when the guy ran wide open for the touchdown to get them up 7-0, you're saying to yourself, whoop, that option play where you sometimes, you know, that was a couple of those pretty good. So now, you got to give Alabama credit. I don't want to get on here and bust them deep.
Yeah, you give them credit for getting the turnovers. You got to get them.
Yeah. Sure.
But you need to thank Ty Simpson for not leaving. Wow, how good is Ty Simpson? And, he should have been probably starting. And for him to stick it out, as talented as he is, he puts the ball on the money. He gets you in and out of the right plays. He had a couple of mistakes there, but this guy's some quarterback.
Here's the thing about Ty Simpson. He plays smart and hard at the same time. Now, that's a real combination. Sometimes you play hard and you play dumb. But he plays smart and hard. He make a mistake, he threw a few, guys, so what. But he plays smart and he plays hard at the same time. And brother, that is a big time key. And you can't, he kept Alabama in the race in that game or ahead in that game because of his will to win. And it was a big game. It was a big game for him. It may not have been an exciting game for you to say, oh, he played so terrific, but it was a hard nosed game. And Vanderbilt got after Alabama.
Vanderbilt's good. I don't think a lot of people beat Vanderbilt, to be honest with you. They stay healthy.
They're off this week.
Yeah, they'll beat open. All right, I got one prediction for you guys. I'm going to predict it right now, Chase and Dad. Now, I'm not making light of people's health, all right? So don't take this the wrong way, but I'm going to predict that Deion Sanders will sit out the rest of the year. They're 2-4, and all of a sudden his legs are hurting. Chase, he's 2-4. I got to see the doctor. He was saying at the press conference, I got blood clots in my leg, which I hope he doesn't. I'm making a prediction that Deion will not coach the rest of the year.
The one thing you have to be very is important to you. When you make all that money initially, when you get all those advertising people coming in because of the situation that transpired at Colorado, they need to be long-term deals. Whoever does your agency at Colorado needs to be darn sure that's a 4- and 5-year deal so that they can get that money continued, because they got a pile of money, enough money to run the whole athletic department for a long time. But it needs to be money that comes in for a good while.
That's just my prediction. We'll see. You're 2-4, and you got more losses coming. When that happens, that leg really starts to hurt, Chase. So, all right, 2-minute truck. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and all of your stuff. Give them a call today, 205-247-5050. That is 2 minutes of truck. Movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good Monday morning. Two separate shooting incidents this past weekend kept the Tuscaloosa Violent Crimes Unit busy. The first was Saturday evening at the Cottondale Efficiency Apartments, the second at the 800 block of 33rd Avenue at a storage unit. That happened just after midnight on Sunday. That left one man dead. 37-year-old Cordell Shepherd called police and told him that he had shot the man, according to VCU. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Purpose-driven ride on these Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. We're pretty much flowing at posted speed, with the exception of our normal intersection slow goes. Busy on 43 now on the southbound lanes to McFarland, so that's got traffic pretty sluggish back to Smith Street. And then we've also got...
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside.
339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurline B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny today. The chance of a few isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 84. Tonight's low, 69. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a chance of scattered showers. The high, 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it's doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right.
Let me say this, Barry. I don't know how the listeners don't call in or not. This season, you will not see a more vivid, tougher pass rush on the quarterback than Missouri. They will come after him with all 15 men. They will be all over him. They will smother him. They smothered Auburn's quarterback, and the guy can really coach defense. So I'm telling you, folks, there needs to be a lot of short passes in this game, little quick passes, get the ball to your running back some. But I'm telling you right now, Missouri's coming after him. It's going to be the big in the offensive line doesn't block this time. It's going to be a much tougher game than you think.
All right, Alabama currently 3.5-point favorite. Early kick, too. I don't like these early kicks. 11 a.m. ABC. So we have to be an early wake up. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Hey, Philip.
Well, hey, good morning, guys, and Cup Sampson and Barry. I'll tell you what, we got there the other day and got parked over at the church, and then we went to the quad. Just a massive, massive, massive crowd at game day. Were you there, Barry?
I did not go to game day, no. But I was down there, but not at game day.
Yeah, well, we didn't stay long. We curled around, went on, and left. That was just a massive crowd. But I'll tell you, if you ask me right now, who would I rather play Saturday, Texas in Austin or Vanderbilt or Missouri, I would rather play Texas in Austin right now. And Wimp's right. Missouri's a very aggressive team on defense. And they mirror that on offense. They're a very aggressive running attack, and they enjoy running the football, and they enjoy running it right down your throat until you can stop them. And it's going to be a very tough game, and Alabama's got to be on point. They have got to get there and get it in their heads that it's going to be a nasty rodeo riding type football game where there's going to be a lot of hard hitting, and they better block. It's going to be a long day.
What's happening here, Philip, is they're going back to the old style of football, and that is to run the football and defend the crap out of you. They're going to come at you as hard as they can. They're not going to be great throwing as much. They're going to try to keep the possession of them. They're going to have the possession number wise, keep the football more. And they're going to combine a running game with a darn defense to make it knock it naked. And so the second-string quarterbacks, the ones that are not playing, better get ready because it's going to be a booger bag. And the offensive line better get ready, too. Go ahead.
Oh, I agree with you. And you're right. I think it's going to be a very aggressive game, and it's going to be on their field and probably not going to get a lot of calls in Columbia. But they better be ready. That's all I got to say. It's going to be one of the hardest games Alabama's got the remainder of the year. If Alabama can get out of this game with a win, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, the running back Hardy, I'm looking at his stat, 103 carries, 730 yards already this season, averaging a little over 7 yards a carry, 9 touchdowns. Hardy's he's a kid from Mississippi. 5'10", you know, like about 208 there, so hard to get him down. And You know, what do you think about this 11 a.m. kick? I don't like that either. Maybe is that an advantage for the road team, though, where it won't be maybe as hostile?
It could be. It could be. I've seen it work both ways. I think everybody's got to play two 11 a.m. games, I believe, early games, I call them. I think that's what it is. But
I guess game day will go to Oklahoma and Texas.
They're going to Oregon, Indiana.
Oregon, Indiana. I think Oregon would crush Indiana.
Probably at Oregon.
I'll tell you, guys, and I'll close with this. You know, a lot of stars are being given to guys that deserve it after the game the other day. But I'll tell you who I'm giving a star to, and I think he made a big difference when he came in the game. That was James Smith, the lineman that had to sit out the first half.
Yeah.
I watched him the second half when he came in. He didn't come in immediately. He got in there after a few plays, but he was able to sort of pinch off that center and sort of get some pushback on that guy. And I thought he affected Pavia's timing at least two or three times in the second half with his play. And the other guy I'm going to give a star to, and he got cussed a little bit in the first half up there where I was sitting. But I got to give Connor Talty some stars too, because he did hit three big, big, big field goals.
Ooh, he scares me, though. He's
scary. He does. He's scary. And there was some cussing going on in the first half when he missed that first one. But those were some huge ones that he hit in the second half.
Yeah, this kid, Yanzi Pierre from Eufaula, he's playing well. He gets to the quarterback. I like number 42 there for Alabama's defense.
Yeah, and it's at the point now, Harry, with all the injuries and all that now, where if you're playing, if you get put in, you got to produce. Because we don't have anybody else other than the first and second guy. Other than the seven or eight guys who are out there, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, I was just thinking, Mbakwe, does he even play?
He played the other day, and he was totally confused. I watched him. He went in motion, sort of stuttered and stammered. Then he continued to go in motion, and I think Ty got sacked. It was a botched up play. His timing was all messed up. He played a few plays after that, same type thing. Went in motion a few times. I faked the handoff to him. But he was not a factor in the game. He was paired up with number 30. I think the guy's name is Pritchett. It may not have been Pritchett. It's number 30. Meadows.
Yeah, I just remember all the stink about him getting in the portals and go to Ole Miss, and Alabama paid him to stay. And just shows you, man, sometimes they want to go, let him go. So
he looked totally confused when he was out there.
Yeah, so.
And he came limping off the field.
Yeah. Thank you, Philip.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Philip.
See you.
All right, we get to break here. We'll get to Max Howell. Thomas Rips, Shaq, outstanding. My guy, Andy, he sent me a text this morning. He was going to try to call and tell you how great the barbecue was, but he wanted to, first of all, say how great the service was. The people are so accommodating. Sharon, Jimmy, they do a great job. If you're looking for, they're closed on Mondays. So you can get that appetite ready. They'll be ready to go tomorrow. You want those ribs, that pulled pork, fish, pork chop, and all the vegetables right there at Thomas Rib Shack. Go to thomasribshack.com, and they will take absolutely great care of you. We appreciate them taking care of Andy. He won the tailgate special. Thanks to those guys for providing that to the listeners. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Purpose-driven ride on these Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets were pretty much flowing at posted speed, with the exception of our normal intersection slow goes. Busy on 43 now on the southbound lanes to McFarland, so that's got traffic pretty sluggish back to Smith Street. And then we've also got
treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tag on it, you certainly don't want it. Every Monday, we go to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's a former radio host in the Southeast Atlanta, all over, former football coach at Florida State and Ole Miss. Joins us every Monday, Max Howell. Good morning, Max. How are you?
Hey, Max.
Great,
guys. Hey, y'all this morning?
We're good. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay. Two big plays, I thought, in the Vanderbilt game. I want to give Alabama a lot of credit, because they came back and Vanderbilt's not easy to beat. But the fumble and the interception certainly helped Alabama. But Alabama did a better job, I thought, of you know, the guy that broke loose a couple of times for long runs. But it could have been a very dangerous game, but a good win for Alabama.
I don't think there's any doubt. I think what I saw, Coach, was that the coaching staff got the defensive guys in the right position after that first quarter.
Yep.
And I think if you check the substitution, I'm not saying it changed much, but I guarantee you they moved some people around. And I don't think the game plan was bad. I think maybe they were a little, the players probably were a little lackadaisical going in. Probably shouldn't have been, but they knew it was Vanderbilt. And I think they showed their true colors from the beginning of the second quarter on. That attitude will carry forward this week with Missouri as well. They can't go out there up to Missouri and just kind of risk on being Alabama. But Missouri's
it's going to be an offensive line coaches game this coming week.
Absolutely. I guarantee you that's absolutely the truth. And I think they can do that. I mean, my observation, I was not a big DeBoer hire when they hired him, coming from the Northeast and all that, Northwest and all that kind of up because of the attitude of those guys they have out there, but he's made the adjustments and the players have adjusted to him, and I think that team's gotten better, obviously since the first ball game. And what I've noticed with them, they are capable now of making adjustments. You know, like when the defense broke down a couple of times in that first quarter, they made the adjustments right, and they shut them down after that. So I think Alabama's going to be much improved by the end of the season.
We're talking with Max Howell. Alabama fans and team, we're lucky Ty Simpson didn't transfer. What a talent, Max. He's playing maybe as well as anybody in the SEC. I don't know anybody really, maybe the country. He's up for the Heisman now if he continues to play it at the pace that he's playing. And just your thoughts about Ty and what Alabama's got there in him.
Well, I can tell you, this is just an observation. When I coached, I was offensive coordinator on the national championship team. Troy won the first one. We lost one ball game that year. It was at Martin, Tennessee, and I think what Ty's dad did when he was, you know, he'd been hanging around 4 years now, and he told him, if you leave Alabama, you got to come home to Martin and be my quarterback.
Oh God!
And I think that was his motivation. Not to have a transfer from Alabama. And Alabama was better off for it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But if you've never been to Martin,
I have. As Dad would say on the stop sign, the back of it says, come again.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Poor.
Anyway, I don't think there's any doubt. The kid had. Well, kid came out a five-star player, he had the talent compared to everybody else that year that came out. Alabama took him, but if you remember, Alabama was looking. I don't think they recognized, even at practice every day, you know, how talented the kid could become. And I think that's what's happened after Melrose left last year, and then he stepped up in the spring and did what they thought, and then of course they bring Grubb back, and I think he fits Grubb's offense. I think he's multi-talented. And they're giving him every chance, to exceed, to be successful, and he's doing that. So if he didn't get hurt, I think Alabama's really in for a good year the rest of the time.
Yeah. Max, when you have the last name Manning, it can really help you. There's also a negative side to that as well. I mean, people looking for you to fail. You know, you probably get overrated a little bit there at the beginning. Just your thoughts about Arch Manning. If this continues this path that it's going, then Sark and them are going to have to go get him a quarterback for next year. They're going to have to go buy a quarterback in the portal, aren't they?
Oh, they've got to. That team is not playing on edge. Even if we take Arch out, I mean, the defense didn't even play well Saturday. I watched that ball game. And I'm telling you, they didn't come to play for whatever reason. And Arch just wasn't, you're talking about not performing. He overthrew, he threw two picks in the ball game. It was just, something's missing completely in that communication with him and that football team. And when you're at the level Texas is at right now, you as a coach, you can't afford games like that. I mean, I'm just telling you. We say that, and as Mac Brown stayed out there, 16 years and won one national championship, but Mac was a politician. I mean, he politically saved his job more than one time. But the fact is now, something's missing in that communication between the coaching staff and the football team. And they're two down right now. They got a chance probably to lose one or two more. They don't make the playoffs this year. There's going to be some rumbling out there because A&M's getting better every week. I don't know whether you guys watched into that one or not. But Texas A&M's getting better. If Texas A&M and Texas play today the way each one played this weekend, A&M would beat them.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying something inside that the communication usually is a whole key to situations like that. It's not going on right now. And you're absolutely right. But will the politics right now of the team and of the school allow him to go back out, allow the coaching staff to go try to find another quarterback that can start? I'll be interested to see how that works out.
With another early loss by Alabama, and I'm not trying to be negative, I'm asking a question. Another early loss by Alabama, even though they have beaten Georgia, would that be a big effect on their ranking in the Final 12?
I think it depends who they lose to, Coach. If they lose to somebody that's playing at the level or better than Alabama right now, that's, you know, if they had to play Ohio State or somebody at that level, they lost. I don't think it would affect. If they lose to Missouri, I think it would affect them.
Missouri's not going to be easy.
It's going to be a hard nose. But Alabama's improved. We know that they've gotten better and better since that first ball game against Florida State. I got a theory about that. They didn't have anything to look at to get ready for Florida. I don't know why they didn't go to Central Florida and get Gus's offense off the tape and study that, because that's what beat them. But the fact is they can't lose to a team of lesser ranking right now, for the lack of a better term. If they lose to somebody, they got to lose somebody that's got a chance right now. And in the SEC, it's not going to be, you know, who else is going to be? You know, we thought Texas was going to be the guy. Texas proved this week they aren't the team to beat. They're going to get beat again before the year's over. So I think all that will go in. To me, on my notes, I got the race to the playoffs begins this Saturday. And I think that goes true for most of the teams in the Southeastern Conference.
All right, Saturday night, 6:30, ABC, Georgia at Auburn. Auburn's had the week off. They need to win this game, to be honest with you, just to give the fan base the hope. They lost two tough road games. I get it. Here's an opportunity for them to get a big win. You give Auburn the line. Georgia's 3.5-point favorite. They've studied Jackson Arnold. They're coming after him. Who wins this game, Max?
I'm going to say this. From what I've seen up to now, if Georgia loses that ball game, they ought to really analyze Kirby's approach. It'll be the coaching staff. It won't be the kids on the field. They'll look at Auburn, look how they played against the last couple of teams. And the mindset of the kids is what's most important, is how you prepare for the game like that. I mean, Georgia ought to win by two touchdowns at least.
Really?
I don't care what by far. I mean, if you've watched the games, Barry, I mean, watch the technique of the players and all. Auburn is not very well coached. I'm telling you that right now. And I got some real strong feelings about that. I've watched some of that staff for the last 10 years, and I'm just telling you, there's some things that Georgia's going to do on the defensive side. Auburn's not going to have an answer for.
Interesting.
Well, in my limited way of not saying what I would like to say, because I know more, they have been nailed from people who count offensively. They were nailed after that game in the meetings. They were nailed big time offensively.
You saying the coaching staff nailed the players?
No.
No.
The coaching staff. The staff got nailed. They're satisfied with the way they played defensively, but they were nailed. They were nailed by people who.
But coach, if you go back and look at that stat on the offensive side and look at the history of that, there's some indications all along that not much has changed in the last 10 years with the philosophy that they're used. Rarely want to run the football. Want to throw. You know, you got. First to go at the 10, they're going to throw 3 out of 4 times. I mean, that's just that. I can show you the notes that I took when it was at Ole Miss. I can show you that.
I'll tell you one thing. It won't happen that way. It won't happen that way at Missouri, changing the subject real quick. they'll run it down your throat. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, like I say, this is the most fun part of what we do, to watch these games right now and see how these different coaches see. In the same line of thought, I want to see what Napier does at Florida. They played an extremely good football game. But the fact is, Texas gave them an opportunity to play that the way they did. Did that save Napier's job? You look at the schedule, I don't think he can maintain that the rest of the year. I think they're going to have a change there. And that's hard to say, you know, when you start talking about. But you know, the reality of it is, guys, when it comes to guys making a living, if you get fired, you're better off financially right away. You got to work go to work every day. So, I mean, that's not the motivation anymore.
Bobby's saying that for Barrett, and I don't want to take up time, but Bobby Petrino, the players have come to his defense as far as being a good coach. The rumor is among most people is no, that's not going to happen. He's been bad everywhere he's been.
Yep.
Tell our listeners what you think is going to happen there.
Well, I think it's going to depend up there. The guys, I've got a guy that's in the media business up there. It covers every ball game, and I talk to him a couple of times a week.
Okay.
This is his opinion. His opinion is if they can win 3 or 4 games, winning out of this improvement on the field, he'll get a lot of support. But there's a core base up there that doesn't like Bobby Petrino because of his past. And he's already been there once. He had some problems. We all know that. The fact is that they want a clean slate. I mean, look, the next most important guy on the list, so I was told yesterday, is Houston Nutt. And if he's not going to come in as a coach, AD. They want him as the athletic director. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that might not be his best job, to tell you the truth.
Well, I can tell you right now, Barry and I have had him on. I've worked with him. Houston Nutt is a very religious, close to the vest. I don't want to use the word religious, but he's a very don't put up nothing kind of guy. He won't make Houston Nutt.
Well, if I could almost say if they hire the athletic director first, that it is Houston, it won't be Bobby Petrino as the coach.
No,
I can almost guarantee you that will be a fact. Yeah. So, and you know, you guys, look, you're right there sitting in the heart of one of the strongest programs in the history of the game. And you know the politics that goes on, and you know, Coach, I know you got contacts with other schools as well. You understand the politics of the game. And a lot of, the fans, 99% of them ain't got a clue about that kind of stuff. You know, they think, well, you know, if he coach and they win, that's all we want. And that's about half of it, because you got the public relations stuff, you got all the contacts you got to make with fundraising, with the academics, and all the other things that go with it. You know, having a job like that. That's what they pay those guys that much for.
Yeah, well, this is a very good interview, Barry.
Who is the best team in the SEC right now? You got A&M, you got Ole Miss, you got Alabama, who looks really good. You got Missouri, that looks really good. JC told us Missouri last week. He thought Missouri was the best team in the league. Who is right now? Maxwell's really not one yet. It's got to all play out.
I don't think out in doubt Alabama's right there at the top.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has got some deficiencies. They got some depth problems in the secondary. They're going to win 10 again, probably. They'll probably lose a couple before they get through. But, you know, Lane can stay there for 50 years if he wins 10 every year. I mean,
yeah,
that's
sure.
That's way better than anybody since Johnny Ball. So I think that's good. The other teams out there, Georgia, you know, has been exposed right now, and I think probably that's a depth problem. They're trying to play too many young guys, Kirby's looking at down the future, down the road of what his team may end up looking like. Missouri is just, a step above. Really, they're a little bit better Kentucky. They're a little bit better Vanderbilt. I think the coaching staff does a good job, but you get enough good players at Missouri. They could get more players than Vanderbilt could get. They get more players than Mississippi State could get. They could get a few more, but they're in that range between where Alabama, Georgia have been or are, and the teams right at the bottom right now. They're somewhere in the middle is what I see just as far as their talent's concerned. But guys, I'm just telling you, I can tell you almost when I get to grade the game, and I sit in front of my TV every week. I got split screen, and I chart these teams just like I did when I coached. And I got all my notes pulled out. The coaching on the field has a lot more to do with it right now than the portal does. The portal's helped a lot of these teams move up in talent wise. But guys, there's some errors that happen on coaching on the sideline in the substitution patterns. It's just almost appalling to me. I don't see how they get away with it. And sometimes they can catch it and cover it up, but a lot of times they can't. They just let the kids stay out there. They get their eyes beaten out in one position. I can go through and name a few, on the offensive side, some of the offensive linemen get beat in some of these games. And maybe they hadn't got anybody else. I don't know. I don't know their depth chart. I don't go to practice every day. But there are things like that happen that causes some of these games, particularly lose a close ball game. So who's the best team right now? I don't think there's any doubt it's still Alabama, Georgia at the top. And I think because of the coaching ability now and the talent level on the field, I think that's what we got.
You know, does it hurt Georgia's recruiting that Carson Beck leaves and then he's playing at the highest level he's ever played at Miami? Does that hurt them or – maybe they need to get rid of him and he needed a fresh start as well. I don't know what happened there. I do know he got hurt. I know he's a lot better than the kid they got now. What happened there? And does that hurt Georgia how well he's playing somewhere else?
I think Kirby, the coaching staff, knew the kid could play. I think maybe the surrounding having to go with, they got a bunch of young defensive linemen as well. And the fact is that the position the defense leaves the offense in, they didn't, maybe Beck didn't think that he was even good enough to, pull him out of that. He didn't have a great year last year.
Mm-hmm. No.
But the fact is, but I don't know, I watched that Miami, I'm not sure Miami's not one of the top two or three teams in the country right now. I mean, they had an answer for anything Florida State wanted to do Saturday night. And so, how good Florida State is, look, when they brought in 70 players and 6 new coaches. And I still contend that was why Alabama lost. They didn't have anything to go through. I mean, they could have gone back and got Central Florida or go back to Auburn to get Gus's offense, but they didn't have anything on the defensive side to refer to in preparation for that ball game. And I think the staff at Alabama learned a heck of a lesson about that as well. But the fact is, Georgia, Beck leaving Georgia, I think everybody at that level, guys, really better than the fans. I think the players and all have adjusted to the portal. They know that they're going to have a big turnover every year. And now these players have to be measured not on what they can be down the road, but what they're doing now. Because one or two things, they either going to do well and stay, or they don't do well, they're going to transfer. And I think that's just the name of the game today.
So it's a different game, guys. We sit here right now watching, you know, every week these different things pop up, change it.
Yep. Deb, anything else before we let Max go?
No, I think not. That's good stuff, Max. I think that's right. I think that's what our listeners are interested in hearing your thoughts on that. And you covered a lot of ground. I appreciate you being
here. What's the best thing to cook this weekend, Max? What you cooking?
Well, this past weekend, we kind of took a week off. Of course, over here, I know a lot of guys will love this, but this squirrel season just started, Steve, Mississippi.
And they
shot a bunch, man. And we'll cook, fry some, make a stew out of some, and we'll do some on the grill. And we'll have stuffed eggs, potato salad, and all that.
Man,
all
didn't like that squirrel. That.
Yeah, I can't eat squirrel. Go ahead.
But let me tell you what, guys. They don't shoot with shotguns. They don't pellets in there. And 90% of those squirrels are headshots. I got guys who knock one out of a tree at 50 yards away and do nothing but a headshot. So, I mean, I sit right there and watch them when they clean them. And I know how they are. And if you never eat it, that's great meat as long as they're not an old one. If they're young and tender, that meat, I can fix it. I can cook that stuff where it'll fall off the bone for you.
You said you can make Barry eat some of it.
I had a guy text me Saturday. He did a little shrimp bowl, crab legs. He's got sausage, potatoes in there. He said, show Max this is what he said. So,
hey, listen, I got my favorites, but I got, you know, I lived on the coast for 11 years. I know all about, you know, all any seafood you want to fix. I've been able to learn how to do a lot of that. And I got a really good friend, a kid I coached at Gulf Breeze. In fact, a kid named Mike Druzma. He's a professional chef, and he's got a truck, and he does most of the tailgating anywhere from Tallahassee to Pensacola. And he's a big-time guy. And anytime something new comes along, I'm the first guy he calls and tells me about the recipe for it. So I'll take any of those guys that got some good stuff. I'm wide open. I'm listening every day, every night.
There you go. All right, Max, great stuff. Should be a fun weekend. Great weekend coming up. So we'll see what happens.
Great.
We'll talk about it next week. All right. Thank you, Max. Thank you, Max.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Max Howell there. Good stuff from Max. I don't know. You watch Carson Beck play. If I were the Georgia fans, probably sitting there saying, "We got Bobo. We let this guy go. What are we doing here?" So they're all mad over it. In Athens, Georgia, whatever. All right, we'll get to the top of the hour break. Open the phone lines 205-342-9904. Also got to add up Doug's. Now I'm getting some discrepancy on Doug's record this weekend, so I got to check it and check it again and make sure we get all that right. But love to talk to you guys. 205-342-9904. Think Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Coach Tommy Tuberville. We'll talk to Drew DeArmon. We'll also talk with Martin Houston. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly as we recap Alabama and Vanderbilt every Monday, sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Days from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Delays kicking it up a notch on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Normal heavies there take you back past Flatwoods Road and up in Northport on 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. That's starting to thicken up just a bit more now. 2059 is still wide open and green for go from 315.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
Here's Steve DeSager.
The Seattle Mariners edged Detroit Sunday night 3-2 to tie up their AL Division Series, a game apiece. It's a best of five. Seattle got an RBI double bottom of the eighth from Julio Rodriguez for the lead. Toronto's up 2-0 after beating the Yankees again. 13-7, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with a grand slam. Las Vegas leads the WNBA Finals 2-0 after beating Phoenix 91-78, a NASCAR victory for Shane Van Gisbergen in his fifth straight on a road course. The Sunday night NFL game to New England, 23-20 at Buffalo on a late 52-yard field goal. Tampa Bay kicked a field goal final play to win at Seattle, 38-35. Tennessee with a comeback win at Arizona, 22-21 on a field goal final play.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. The chance of a few isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 84. Tonight's low, 69. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a chance of scattered showers. The high, 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website TuscaloosaToyota.com. You look at the new inventory. They got the beautiful Toyota Camry, 1.99% APR for the first 36 months. That RAV4 is a hot selling Toyota, 3.75 for the first 36 months. You want something a little bigger? The Toyota Highlander is a beautiful SUV. You want to go the truck route. We talk about the Tundra all the time. Also, this month, you got the great tire special going on. Buy three tires, get that fourth tire for $1. You can do all that at the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com, or swing by Skyland Boulevard, find Justin, and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, this weekend, let's go through the slate of games, Dad, and let you comment. We'll talk just as well. We do have the Oregon and Indiana game, which will be a big game. But we've talked a lot about Alabama, Missouri. Ole Miss, week off. They got 11:45 Washington State coming in. Ole Miss right now, 32.5-point favorite. I imagine Washington State, not really being in the conference, has a hard time holding on to players.
Well, that's a situation where you need to have a pretty good name non-conference wise for your season tickets. Washington State's a good team to play because you think you can beat them, and just on your past Ole Miss records the last 3 or 4 years, I don't know how long, but it's a game that people will come out and see if you're a big Ole Miss fan. But it's a game you're gonna win.
Yeah. All right. The Red River rivalry. So it's in Dallas, Oklahoma. Just a little bit shocked here. Texas is a 2.5-point favorite. I know Oklahoma is playing with a backup quarterback. Texas's quarterback's not playing well. They've already got two losses. They can't afford another one. Why is Texas favored in this game? I guess the money.
Because it's more of a Texas home field. Yeah. When I was at Abilene, I had the opportunity to go with some roommates to that game in Dallas. So I was at that game. I don't even remember who won, but it's more of a Texas crowd. They got more people attending, got a bigger crowd there. It's it's in the state of Texas. So it's not a home game, but it's like a home game for Texas. So generally speaking, if both of them are about even, Texas gets the nod point wise. So I really don't know.
Yeah, Oklahoma did what they're supposed to do over the weekend. They won 44-0. All right, Arkansas, Bobby Petrino's first game. They've had a chance now to kind of get some new staff members in there. They're going over to Knoxville, Tennessee, to take on Tennessee. Tennessee, 12.5-point favorite at home against Arkansas. Your thoughts about this game?
Oh, at least that many. As you're defending pass defense, your head coach is gone. You're trying to put your team together. You know, and Bobby is running the show, but he knows the offensive side. He doesn't know the defensive side. They've hired a defensive guy who's coming in. He won't have time to really cover the defensive stuff and the way that Tennessee needs Arkansas needs to play. I think Tennessee runs off with.
Yeah, Florida. God, poor Florida. They had to beat Texas. Now they got to go play at A&M. The schedule is just. I mean, it just takes its toll. A&M 7.5-point favorite. I think the Florida quarterback was a little healthier, so he played a little bit better there. But man, it just every week they've got a tough game. Florida does. Just your thoughts about Florida at A&M?
I think A&M busts them. I think it's got home field advantage. I think A&M is really good. I think Florida is very, very good defensively. You've got two good defensive teams playing against each other, but A&M came to life. Offensively, I think A&M beats them by 10 points or more.
All right, we discussed for a minute Georgia at Auburn. Auburn's had a week off. Hugh Freeze said his staff did not take any time off, the offensive staff there. So they're going to really – a lot of times you're really good at what you emphasize. So they have been emphasizing offense and a way to score, and they're paying this quarterback a lot of money, and he hadn't really – produced. Everybody after the Baylor game thought they really had something, but as of now, after that, he has not done great. Your thoughts about Georgia 3.5-point favorite at home, night game on the Plains?
I think Auburn plays them hard, plays them well. I think the home field advantage will be there for Auburn because I think they're going to set it out and be after them, and hopefully they can do the same thing that Alabama did. But I think Georgia wins in the long run. I think they're just too good, too smart. I think Georgia is so good, smart defensively. If Auburn doesn't improve their offense, I don't know, tricking them and all, but putting some stuff in that hurts Georgia defensively. I think Georgia late in the game runs it by them by two touchdowns.
In the last game, LSU had a week off. South Carolina had a week off. They're traveling over to Baton Rouge. LSU's 9.5-point favorite against the Gamecocks in this one.
Well, I think South Carolina continues to play well enough, you know, to keep people interested in them. And I don't think they're a lower division. I mean, I just think LSU at home is, unless you've been there, the Alabamas and the Auburns have been there. I don't know how much the South Carolinas have been there, but it won't be any fun for South Carolina. It will be difficult to win. It'll be more difficult for South Carolina to get their team ready to play LSU because they won't realize the crowd and the carrying on that'll go on there. So you got LSU is not good offensively. They're better defensively. I don't know why they're not. You comment on that yourself. Nussmeyer's just whatever his name is. It's not. I don't know what's happened, but they've got to get better offensively. I wish South Carolina could come in there and win because I'm a South Carolina fan. But I think LSU wins by a couple of touchdowns. I wish I could really play them.
Yeah, well, you can. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Doug Bell. I've looked at Doug's record for the weekend, and so we'll discover. We'll let him know that as well. He was close. He was real close. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Thickening up quite considerably in the area as we hit your prime time. Looking at Lurleen Wallace, bumper to bumper traffic on the southbound lanes at University Drive. And that's going to take you back to 5th Street. And then we're also looking at heavy traffic on 43. That's beefed up considerably on the southbound hookup to McFarland, with red lines or red brake lights taking you back to Flatwoods.
New floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud supporter of the Alabama Crimson Tide. For more information, visit GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are post-game thoughts from head coach Kalen DeBoer after Alabama's 30-14 win over Vanderbilt.
Just really proud of these guys, the resiliency throughout the game, the resiliency of the season, and just, you know, the way it starts, you know, and just with the way they responded time and time again. Wasn't a perfect game by any means. That's a well-coached team that we faced there with Coach Lee. Does a great job there. And, you know, just I thought we played, you know, hard-nosed. Love the way we finished the game. You know, the second half, just controlling really the line of scrimmage more and more as the game went on, both sides of the ball. And, you know, I think we held them to 20-some yards really over the last probably three quarters rushing. And so
I'll have more in a moment.
This year we honor the most important anniversary ever, an event that reshaped civilization as we know it, a day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. Central to talk about Alabama's win against Vanderbilt. You can listen on the full radio network and the Varsity Network app, with a video replay available as well on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. The chance of a few isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today 84, tonight's low 69. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a chance of scattered showers. The high 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Joins us every Monday, the one, the only, Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. I'm doing great. What are you guys up to?
Doug.
Yep.
The win at Sanderson's Farm was a kid that 138th, I think, on the list. Of course, you had low scores. Before we get into football, mention that Sanderson Farm, because Barry's name after.
Well, that's right. Stephen Fisk, a PGA Tour rookie, won. There's 35 rookies this year on the PGA Tour. Gordon Sargent, the kid from Vanderbilt, via Birmingham, Mountain Brook, he's also turned pro, so he's a rookie. But this turns Fisk's season around, obviously. Was fighting as he came in this week just to keep his card for next year. So now he gets the two-year exemption, wins $1 million. His wife was very excited yesterday. And this is interesting. the new fall circuit, no longer do you get a ticket to the Masters, so that's the only thing. He gets a 2-year exemption, the money, et cetera, 500 FedEx Cup points, secures his card, but does not get an invite into the Masters. They took that away for the fall event. So that's unfortunate, but nevertheless, good stuff for this kid. And this was, you know, he went to Georgia Southern, guys, and all these PGA pros in their back pocket, they have their little leather deal that covers their yardage book and the scorecard, and they put it in their back pocket. Yeah. And like Justin Thomas and Nick Dunlap, it sticks out. It says Roll Tide, and, you know, they have their colleges. This guy says G-A-T-A, and I kept seeing that, and finally I said, what does that mean? And he went to Georgia Southern, where Irk Russell, the legendary coach, won the national championships. You know, he was at, with Vince Dooley at Georgia. And his favorite saying was, get after their ass.
Yeah.
And so his thing, it says G-A-T-A, which I got tickled. And, Coach, I said that kind of reminded me of you. That's something you might say to your team over the years, right?
I think Jimmy Rain has that with his company. With they have that.
Right?
Yeah. So
I thought that was pretty funny. And Trey Mullinax, by the way, tied for 29th, 11 under par, his best finish. Lee Hodges tied for 38th. Nick Dunlap had a nice week, made the cut, tied for 44th. But Trey Mullinax now has 4 more starts this fall. There's 5 more tournaments, and he has 4 more starts to earn enough points to get to 120, to match the number of the guy who's 125, so he can keep his playing privileges for next year. So Trey seems to be healthy and playing good, but he only has 4 more starts, so hopefully he'll keep it going.
Yeah, the other two, the other two that you mentioned are not going to get there, are they? Dunlap.
Well, Lee Hodges will be okay because I think he was inside the top 90 coming into the week. But and Nick has still has a year left on his exemption from winning.
Okay.
But the thing about Nick, he hadn't made a cut in a while, and he hadn't played well in a while. So this was a big week for him, I thought, in a lot of ways. Nick and I saw him, spoke to him briefly. You know, he finished 9 under par, so I thought that it was a very, very good week for Nick, who's been kind of searching for things all year, really.
Yeah. Okay, Larry.
Just anything after, you know, we're past the Ryder Cup now, but Keegan Bradley, those guys, just any more information coming out of there, Doug?
No, well, the only thing is the tour now goes – well, this is interesting, guys. There was a charter flight waiting in Jackson, Mississippi last night. It took 60 players to Tokyo. Bud Cauley will be on that plane. Lee Hodges decided to go. Davis Riley. Only 80 players, but that's where the fall goes, to Tokyo, and then it comes back to the U.S. For 4 more stops. As for the Ryder Cup, the only thing, Barry, everybody is talking about is, number one, will Luke Donald be named the captain for the 3rd consecutive Ryder Cup for the Euros? That's never happened, but there's a faction of people who want him to keep being the captain. He's done such a great job. And Keegan Bradley, people are still talking about the awful way that the fans acted in New York. And we knew it was going to be over the top, but everybody I talked to this past week just said it was worse than over the top. The U.S. fans were terrible.
Let me just say this real quickly to our golf fans. The fault was the way that they set up the course. That caused it put the championship on the putter. They didn't have any rough. And they had the fairways fixed where they could hit the fairways, and it put the winning on the putter. Correct that if that's not correct, and that was the difference. And that Bradley got really criticized for that. Stuart Sink from up here in Florence thought maybe he was going to be the captain, but he didn't get it. Go ahead.
Well, no, you're right, Coach. And in retrospect, you know, you always armchair quarterback, but you know, Bethpage Black is considered the toughest, tougher than Oakmont, where they had the U.S. Open. It's the longest golf course, and when the rough is up, it is virtually, I mean, it's extremely difficult for the best players in the world. And the PGA of America and Keegan decided to mow everything down. No rough to speak of. They shortened the golf course. The par threes were playing much shorter than they normally would. And the idea was, let's create excitement and birdies, and the crowd will get into it. But that helped the Europeans, who who weren't necessarily, Rory and Rahm, these guys hit it a long way. They all hit it a long way, but it definitely helped the European team more than it helped the American team. So, yeah, you know, it's funny. Only real golf fans understand the course setup, and you don't even think about that. But that was a big decision, and that was a big mistake by the PGA of America and Keegan Bradley. No doubt about it.
All right, Doug, let's get to your picks. Chase, get the horn ready. Now, Doug, you went 3-0 last week, and yep. You brought that record back to 8-10. You always got a bat in your hand. You're always swinging. So, your yes, picks last week, Clemson minus 13.5 versus North Carolina. That was a gimme. You said take Clemson. Hey, let's take the gimmies. That would be a victory for Doug. So there's 4 in a row. Florida versus Texas. You said take Florida. You got points. Another dub. Manny not playing well. 5-0. And then, Doug, Vanderbilt, you had it. You probably told somebody, I'm going 3-0. And then all of a sudden, Jim Miller, they hand the ball to the middle, and he went for a touchdown. And the stadium and the quad erupted because everybody in Alabama always puts money on Alabama. And they cut, the bookies were sad and they covered. And it kept, you had it, Doug. You had Vanderbilt plus 10. That would be a loss.
I know. So, yeah. I know.
But you had it. You had it. That's called gambling.
That is called gambling. And when Jam ran that in there, I was like, I was out on the golf course keeping up with it. And I was like, seriously? Seriously?
Yeah. So that cost the bookies around here a lot of money, I'm sure. But that runs that record. You're inching closer. Dad missed his blue plate. So he's 500. He's 500. Yeah. So, Doug, now you are 10, 11, and 0. So you're creeping to 500. So a lot of good games this week.
Doug. Oh, congratulations.
Doug's 5-1 the last 2 weeks. So
thanks, Coach. You know, I'm trying. You know, like, you just got to keep plugging away. It's a long season.
Yeah.
You
know,
it's
a
roller coaster.
I can't wait to see what you got this week.
Well, let me tell you this. I tell you every week. Memphis, by the way, if you bet on Memphis every week, guys, you're 6-0. They're 6-0 against the spread. Ohio State is 4-0-1. Texas Tech, by the way, is 5-0 against the spread. And Alabama, you know, you lose the Florida State game, but they've covered everything since. They're 4-1. And the worst teams to bet on, guys, Texas and Georgia 1-4. Penn State, SMU 0-5 against the spread this year. So,
how about Penn State losing to UCLA?
Oh, oh my goodness. That was horrible. But here we go, guys. This will be a 3-0 week. And you're right, Barry. The games are incredible. They really are. And I'm not going to pick the Texas Tech game, but we told you, you know, they're undefeated against the spread 5-0. They're favored by 14.5 at home against Kansas. Just saying for the audience out there, if you're looking for something to get above water, I'm just saying they're 5-0 against the spread. They're favored at home against Kansas. All right, but that's not my game. Here we go. Georgia at Auburn. Georgia favored by 3.5. That's what we got, Barry, right?
Yes, 3.5, yes.
Auburn's offense simply they're stumbling, they're bumbling, they're staggering. Even being at home isn't going to help. I think Georgia goes to Jordan-Hare and easily covers that 3.5 against an overmatched Auburn team. Auburn defensively is pretty good. Got to give them credit. But offensively, they really are struggling. They can't run the ball. It sets up some terrible situations for that quarterback who's getting sacked more than anybody else in the Southeastern Conference. Georgia covers at Auburn on Saturday.
Okay, we got it. Next game.
All right, this is the other one. Tennessee at home against Arkansas, and Bobby Petrino is the interim coach. Wants to be the head coach permanently, which would be a crazy story in itself. Petrino comes in, takes over for Sam Pittman, fires the defensive coordinator, fires the defensive line coach. Three coaches on the defensive side. He's totally clean ship. I just don't quite understand that. Tennessee at home against this this Arkansas team that's going through just all this turmoil. I just don't see how Arkansas can go to Knoxville and even keep this thing close. And the last time we saw Arkansas, Notre Dame absolutely ran them off the field at home.
Yeah.
Tennessee covers easily against Arkansas. I got 13 and a half in that game.
Well, I do you win better. The line's 12 and a half on ESPN.
There you go. I like those. I like being 2-0. And how about this, guys? I'm actually going this Saturday to the Boston College game. Clemson at Boston College. BC, Bill O'Brien, our old buddy from the University of Alabama, was the OC there for Coach Saban. And did a nice job last year, BC, but they are 1-4. They are seriously struggling, Boston College. Clemson took care of business last week against North Carolina at home. They will take care of business against an overmatched BC team on the road. I like this one a lot, guys. You know, Barry, sometimes you say my picks are gimmies. This is a gimme. Clemson covers easily on the road at Boston College.
All right, I got Clemson minus 14 and a half.
Okay, that's fine. 14 and a half's fine. Yeah. They're going to win easily, and I'm going to wear my Clemson sweatshirt because I'm a Dabo guy.
Oh, are you?
And Coach McCorvey's still on staff, yeah. So, you know, once, guys, many, many years ago, in fact, when I was covering Coach, when he was at Alabama, I was the sports guy locally here for the CBS affiliate. And I once gave Dabo Swinney the High School Football Player of the Week award, which was brought to you by I think it was Pepsi Cola or one of the soft drinks. And last time I saw Dabo, he mentioned that. He goes, "Didn't you give me the Player of the Week award one year?" And I said, "I did, absolutely." So if he remembers that
as a player of the week,
he was the High School Football Player of the Week at Pelham High School. Yeah,
it's so. High school. Okay.
No, you're showing your. Don't do that. You're showing your age.
I don't mind, Barry. You get to a point where it's okay to show your age.
All right, so let's make sure we got this right. Georgia minus 3.5 at Auburn. Tennessee minus 12.5. I gave you a point. See, Dad's always complaining. I'm giving you a point. 12.5 versus Arkansas, and Clemson minus 14.5 versus Boston College. If you could win all three of those, you'd be 13-11. You'd be in the money.
Man, you know, I love calling the show every Monday because you guys put me in a good mood. And after you just said that, Barry, wow, I'm in a great mood.
I said, yeah.
That sounds awful good.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Those, I'm helping. You know, it's funny. Some of the people have responded on X, you know, when I'm on the show a couple of weeks ago. Had a couple of people comment about my picks saying his dog could pick better than me, et cetera. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think I've kind of, you know, rekindle the confidence in some of these people over the last couple of
weeks. You're 5-1. They just started 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, see, and even coaches.
It's called gambling.
Yes, it is. You know, when Coach is nice to me, something's up.
Well, he's been humbled. He's been humbled.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He's on a 2-game losing streak.
Yeah, he didn't call my number again. You didn't call my number again thinking you were calling somebody else.
Coach, I'm being very careful when it comes to calling you these days.
You call me for some reason. I couldn't figure it out.
All right, Doug, what are we pushing today?
Well, Casa de Campo, guys. I'm going back down in December. It's the best golf in the Caribbean. It's down in the Dominican Republic. Go to CasaDeCampo.com. Jerry Pate, I know he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. He has been redoing Teeth of the Dog, which is the really awesome course that PDI designed down there. And it's ready to go. The grass is in. They're just waiting a little bit longer to cut the ribbon. I'll be down in December. Check it out. Golf Vacay, Family Vacay. It's CasaDeCampo.com.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, talk to you next week, guys. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Well, Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. I've been banking with Bryant Bank for a long time, right below my house in Birmingham. Close to my house now that I'm in Tuscaloosa. They got great people in the bank. They'll know your name by your first name, second time you're in there. If they don't know it the first time, they're interested in schools. You'll have a personal business account. They'd be darn sure that they're separated. They're different. They're checked on to be darn sure nobody's taking any money out of them. And you can bank online around the clock. So go by Bryant Bank. Those of you heard Barry and I talk about it on inside the locker room, and I think it could be well paid.
All right, we'll take the break here. Get back, Chase. Get the vinegar tip for this. Get your week rolling with the vinegar tip for this Monday. Brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Thickening up quite considerably in the area as we hit your prime time. Looking at Lurleen Wallace, bumper to bumper traffic on the southbound lanes at University Drive. And that's going to take you back to 5th Street. And then we're also looking at heavy traffic on 43. That's beefed up considerably on the southbound hookup to McFarland, with red lines or red brake lights taking you back to Flatwoods Road for that one. 2059 continues to run on the green side from McFarland to Joe Malisham. You're wide open there. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside
assistance. Another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I've been good.
Inside the locker. You know what that song means. It's time for the vinegar tip, brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. He's our agent. Well, let him become yours. His phone number, 205-752-8500. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance.
Well, I've got given tips about rough feet and all, but I've had a call wanting corns and calluses to be talked about. So, based on that, I'll try to give something that I found in here about corns and about cow. You got bad corns on your feet rather than hot and tired feet, or rather than rough feet, just plain old corns on your feet. And you got some cotton picking problems on your feet. So what you got to do is this. You got to make a vinegar compress. And what you do by this is you got to, by wetting a half a slice of stale bread, get you some stale bread with apple cider vinegar and pour it on there. Squeeze the bread into a soft mass. Get rid of that corn now. And put it around the corn or the calluses. And overwrap something like a cloth or something and put it over that. And leave it on there overnight. Now, you're going to put the stale bread on there with filled with apple cider vinegar. And then you're going to lay it on there. But then you're going to put something in it to kind of mash it on there real hard. Make it stay on there and kind of overwrap it and hold it in place overnight. And then if the corn and calluses are really stubborn, if they're really hard and they're all stubborn, then you need to repeat that. You need to do some really work on that and repeat that treatment as much as needed, and those corns and calluses will be gone. Now, you farmers and people that listen to our show, I know there's a bunch of farmers listening. Anybody that just has bad feet, and not just rough feet. I've talked about rough feet before, but I hadn't specifically talked about corns and calluses. And I hope this
helps these guys that call in.
I think you're being Sonny Smith. I think we've already had that tip.
Well, anyway, they did it, so I did it. They wounded it, so I did it.
Who wounded it?
So I did
it. Oh, the people. The people wanted it.
The people of America.
Oh, they wanted it. All right, Chase, so you got it twice. So if you missed it last time, you got it again. It's like going and hearing their jokes. If you missed it the first time, they'll tell them again. So just hold on. Well, that's Michael. It's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Where's Michael? 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200, over in Tuscaloosa. He'll take great care of you. Swing by there today, whatever you need insurance-wise, 205-752-8500. All right. Comer was, Jenny's boy was a match for bone marrow, guys. So he and Jenny flew down to Boca Raton. He's given his bone marrow to somebody. He's an identical match. They don't get to meet the people. You have to wait a year. They're down there. And so Jenny typed me out everything I've got to do for the week for Mac. The thing's like 9 pages. Like she acts like I've never taken care of a child before, Chase. And then she's already texted me this morning, did you brush his hair? Well, yeah, I brushed his hair. Did he brush his teeth? I mean, she acts like I don't know what I'm doing.
You got that trip. I had me another one. I get a phone call Friday. It's Jimmy Rain. He says, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, well, nothing. I was going to watch the games. He said, I want to fly out. I want to pick you up and fly out to Paris, Texas. It's Ruth Ann's birthday. Beeves on. I thought to myself, why couldn't we just text her? What was the problem of just calling her up, meaning you talking to her? I didn't say that. He sponsors our show. So he picks me up. That big plane, he's got that Booger Barrel fly. We flew out there in an hour. I had the worst time getting Bama Air. They went to a different place. It was the biggest deal trying to get me on the plane. And got on there. Flew out there, and we saw Beavs, and we saw the daughters, and Ruth Ann was there. She looked okay. She was 90, and all the women were there, and everybody was all hippity-hoppity, and we stayed about 30 minutes.
You flew out there to stay for only 30 minutes?
We stayed out there we didn't top 45 minutes. And so we stayed out there. We made it stay the hour. I'm not positive that we got there. But it was a long way. It was a long way from the airport out to Beavis Ranch. And Beavis,
did you get some tomatoes out of it?
No, we didn't get jack crap out of him. He was okay.
Did he know y'all were coming?
I don't know if Jimmy. You know, he's on Jimmy's board too. Or he's on the big board, so I don't know if he knew it or not. But anyway, I talked to Ruth Ann and I told him the story. I said, Beavs gets $5,400 from Coach Bryant when I'm there, and he's in a rental house in Alberta City, and he moves to a new house. Guess who got $4,300? I don't know how much they got about that, but and moved into his rental house. I said, I moved into Beavs' rental house. It was dirty, and I had to clean it. So Beavs owes me. So anyway, they laughed about that. So anyway, the girls were there, and they were glad that I guess we came, and they were, you know, whatever. I'd been knowing them for a long time. So anyway, that's what we got back. I got back just in time to take the dog out and watch the ball game. So I didn't make it.
So you flew all the way to Texas, got back, and watched the ball game.
Well, it was hard to get. I just had to get from one airport to the other.
How was Jimmy Rain's plane?
Oh, it's big time. Oh, my heavens, St. Maud, it's big. That thing is flying. I said, how fast are we going? They said, we're going a little over 400 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Ground speed. I'm sorry.
Did they have any food on there?
Why, sure.
Oh, yeah. Y'all living it up. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Ragged Glory?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I want to get you off the speaker. Okay, good morning. Hey, Coach Wimp, I want you to do some homework for me, unless you just know it right off the top of your head. Coach Wimp.
I'll probably do. What?
What is your apple cider or white vinegar tip for eczema?
Eczema.
How do I get rid of eczema?
Spell it.
What is that?
Eczema is a skin condition. It's a skin condition like a rash, but I can't explain it. My dermatologist talked about it, but
let me ask you a question. Your dermatologist can't get it off?
No, it doesn't work like that.
My grandson just married an attractive girl who's going to be a dermatologist. They're in New Orleans and Baton Rouge or wherever they are. I can't keep up with them. I'll ask her.
I think you should try the one for the corns. Get some stale bread and soak it, put it on there, see what happens.
All over him, Barry.
I don't know.
He'd have to get a whole loaf of bread.
It would probably take me two loaves and a bunch of bandages.
As heavy as you might be, it might take three loaves.
Man, I'm 6 foot and 152 pounds. I'm skinny as a rail, man.
You'll be all right. Then you get two pieces of bread.
Those loaves off.
Yeah, get you two pieces of bread. You'll be good.
Great.
I was thinking you was going to... Yeah, eczema, I can't even spell it right off the top of my head right now. Eczema. If you Google it, it'll come up and spell it correctly.
All right, he'll do his homework and try to come up with something for you by tomorrow. How about that?
No, I won't.
What I was hoping.
I ain't coming up by tomorrow.
You'll have to listen
every day
to see what I do.
I listen to you guys' show Monday through Friday. For the entire length. So there it is there.
There you go. All right, Ragged. Appreciate you, sir.
Love you guys. Have a blessed day.
You too, buddy. All right, we'll take a break here. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Coach Tommy Tuberville. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll also talk with Martin Houston. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly as we recap Alabama and Vanderbilt every Monday, sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekday. Days from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A gridlock on Lurleen Wallace on the southbound lanes to University Boulevard. You've got some active road construction, and that's going to slow you way down, brake lighting you back to McFarland. And traveling on 15th Street, it's a little patchy, but it continues to move from McFarland.
Men'sClinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to PrimetimeMen'sClinic.com.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Later on this week, we'll pick the Blue Play Specialist brought to you by Brian Harden. Brian Harden Construction, when you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa to be beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family-owned, woman-led, safety-driven. That's Brian Harden Construction. Go to bhardenconst.com. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, hey, Barry and Coach? Hey, I was wondering, on your golf tournament yesterday, Barry, did you put alligators in that pond? Because there was a guy that finished third that shot a shot on the edge of the end of the water with some grass, and an alligator was 20 feet behind him, 20, 30 feet behind him.
Really?
Did you see that video? I saw it early this morning.
I did not.
Yeah. PGA America, I think, or it was on some news feeds of my phone and ESPN. Yeah, he finished third. My goodness, could you imagine getting down there and that alligator just staring at you, shooting out of that water?
Yeah.
20 to 30 feet behind you.
That'd make it tough.
Yeah. Woo!
What'd you think about Alabama, Cowboy?
Oh, they look pretty good, I'd say. But, you know, that is Vanderbilt. So
Vanderbilt's pretty good, Cowboy. They're pretty good, Vanderbilt is.
Oh, I know they are. They beat Alabama last year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're hard to play. And those two turnovers cost them down there in Alabama's territory. But I think Vanderbilt's pretty solid.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know if they can keep it going because they got so many seniors on the team, so they'll probably take a dip, you know, after this
year. Yeah, a friend of mine said that was at the game that the turnovers wouldn't have mattered. Vanderbilt, they were getting beat Saturday, so
yeah.
I just, you know.
Yeah.
I think they had a big key in the game, I think, but, you know.
Yeah.
And, Alabama looked good running the ball and driving the clock out. That they did something there that a lot of people, I guess including me, didn't think they could do, is let the air out of it. They did it for 8 minutes.
Well, they did it against Georgia, too, at the end. You know, if you keep the ball, the team can't win. They can't get it if you got a lead. And they did it against Georgia, and they did it Saturday. A lot of people really happy with that last touchdown there with about 20 seconds on the clock because it covered for Alabama.
That helped the gamblers out.
Not the bookies, but the gamblers, yeah. Here in Tuscaloosa anyway, so. Anyway.
Right.
All right, buddy, anything else?
Oh, that's about it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I made a mistake last week. That practice is this Thursday, the Alabama breakfast scrimmage or whatever it's going to be.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Basketball, NATO.
Yep. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later on this week, Cowboy. Got to get out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got a big ball game this week.
All right, buddy. All right, the Gary Harris Show. Sorry, Tom. The Gary Harris Show is next. So keep it locked in here all day long. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.
listening